Good morning, again. So some of you might know, this is actually my last Sunday here at Adirondack Christian Fellowship because tomorrow I am leaving for Camp of the Woods, which is a Christian camp up near Speculator. So it's about an hour and a half or 2 hours north of here. I was blessed with the opportunity to actually, I heard about the camp from my cousin. He'd worked there last year. He's working there again this year. And I applied there, and I was actually, they asked me if I wanted to, head up the worship band up there for, the teen campers and staff fellowship on Sunday nights. So, that's what I'm going to be doing this summer. I'm actually going to steal one of these stools real quick. So I'm going to be working up there, all summer long doing worship, and then, I'm coming back August 19th. I'm only going to be here for a couple days because then move-in day at Eastern Nazarene College is August 25th. So I'm going to be home for almost a week and then head off to school again. So this will probably be the last time I will see a lot of you guys. This morning I just wanted to talk to you about... do I have to use this microphone or am I loud enough without it? Oh, I am. Okay. I'm being recorded. So... this morning I wanted to talk to you about something that I, probably one of the most important things I've learned as I've grown in the faith and grown here in the body. It actually started at a ACF youth camp a couple of years ago. It must have been 2008, so it was quite a while ago. I don't remember the year. I think it was 2008, but what I remember it as the year of the salamander because I slept in late. And Dave Cooper, Michael O'Hara, and Michael Cargan were all in the same tent with me, and they got up and found this little red salamander about this long, and they put it on my face while I was asleep. And it fell off my face, but it was lying on the pillow right next to me, and I woke up and I turned over, and there was a salamander right in front of my face. And that was like one of the most, the memory that has stuck with me from that youth camp, because it scared me so bad. But, and I think I threw one of them in the lake afterwards for that. But, I learned at youth camp this, I began to grasp this concept of eternal, the word eternal. We learned a definition for that word that I hadn't really thought of before. It's not, eternal is not just something with no end. Eternal is something that's outside of time. It has no beginning and no end. It completely transcends time. You can't find a fixed point in time in eternity because it's outside of time. It doesn't exist in time. And that really changed my concept of what I thought of eternal life. Because I think that a lot of Christians, especially youth, think of eternal life as something that starts after we die. Like, you know, we die and we go to heaven and then we have eternal life. But it's not really that way. I'm going to turn to Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." He gives life to our mortal bodies, not after we die. Eternal life starts when we accept Christ. We now live in this state that transcends time. We are living in eternal life. And that eternal life comes with power. Hebrews 13:6. "So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" This verse says, "What will man do to me?" And I think it's talking about men, as in men of the world, as in mortal men. But we're not mortal men anymore. Because of the life of Christ in us, we are now outside of that. We're in this world temporarily, but we don't live in the world. You know, we live among people who are separate from us, and they can say what they want, they can do what they want, they can even kill us in this life, but they can't hurt us eternally. There's nothing they can do to us. So that's the kind of power that comes from living in eternal life. You are separated and you are set in this place of power apart from mortal men. So, and then, you know, living in eternal life, it sounds amazing and wonderful, and then we have Luke 9:23, which says, he was saying to all of them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And all of a sudden you're like, ooh, maybe this isn't the best idea I've ever had. Because the thing is, salvation is free, but discipleship costs. Discipleship will cost everything that you have. You have to give up all of your selfish desires, all of your selfish thoughts and actions, and you have to give it all up to God in order to be walking in communion with him in this eternal life, because you're not part of that old life anymore. You're living in a new life. You know, I told the youth this on Friday. We had a little bit of a party, a going away party for me on Friday, because I'm not going to see most of them, because not all of them come to church here. So, and I told them, you know, you can't get by on your parents' faith. At a certain point, you have to decide. You know, they can make the decision for you to go to church. They can make you go to church. They can teach you all the right ways to live, but they can't force you to make the decision to follow Christ daily, to pick up your cross and follow him. That's something that you have to decide on your own. And, you know, I decided that. I decided that this is walking in this eternal life and experiencing the power and the love of God is something that is absolutely 100% worth giving up the old life. There's nothing like it, and it's totally worth it. You know, our life isn't ours anymore. It's God's. It's not ours to forfeit and do what we want with it. And when we follow Christ like this, when we're deeply in communion with him, then the verse Romans 8:38 really comes alive. And I'm sure some of you know this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we're walking in communion with Christ and we're actively seeking out this eternal life that he has for us, the love of Christ abides in us, and it gives us strength, and it gives us the power to withstand all sorts of attacks. And, you know, we're able to stand up and say, this is not this life that I'm living now on earth is dead to me. That's not, I don't live that way anymore. I live in eternal life. And we still live here on earth, obviously, but we're different. We're the messengers of Christ, and we're not of the world anymore. So that's just something that I know I'm going to take with me. And it changes my whole perspective of who I think I am, because I'm new in Christ, and I begin to think as a new creation and to think differently about the world and my friends and circumstances that come up, and you think of them in the context of this new eternal life as someone who's set apart from time, someone who's living forever because of Christ, and it just changes your whole perspective. And that's something that I'm definitely going to take with me to camp and to college, and it's something that I'm sure God will continually reveal new facets of that to me. But I was just super blessed to really come to conceptualize that and really grasp it in my head, because it makes things so much easier, you know, to live every day and face these challenges, but to know that it's only temporary. It's not something that you really have to worry about, because the life more abundant that Christ has for us is just so much greater and transcends all of that. So that's it. That's what I got.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, we matched tonight. I like that. Yeah. Next service, we're going to pray for Zach and his new adventures and taking off, conquering the world. We're excited for him, but sad that we're going to be missing him. We'll see your brothers and sisters, though, and we'll look at them and be reminded of you. Thanks. A new day in the Lord this morning. And we're going to go to prayer in just a couple minutes. But I want to encourage you to be a part of the service this morning, to be a part right from the get-go. As we pray, I want you to pray too. I want you to pray throughout the service. This is an interactive service and message this morning where you get to be a part by praying God's goodness and anointing on this time. I mean that seriously. As you look at me, you know, halfway through the message and maybe a yawn even comes to mind, turn that into a prayer and say, Lord God, speak through that man up there. Open my heart. You know, prayer can just be a flash of thought going up to heaven periodically, all day long. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. We're going to start that right now by you praying with me. Lord, we just are so in love with you. You've captivated our hearts. We've heard Zach's testimony and know that even as a young man, you've captivated his heart. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning, and we just pray that you open your word and you open our heart to receive, that we can just be one with you this morning, excited about what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be born again and walking in the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, anoint this time with all your power and blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles as we look at the three pillars of the Christian walk: faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, that great chapter in the Bible, the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. I want you to turn with that. Turn with me there. If you anybody need a Bible, Bart will grab you one. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. The story is told of a hiker up high in the mountains, traversing through the narrow passageways, and he got up to this cliff area, this very steep precipice, and he looked up, it was straight up, and he looked down, and it was straight down, and he was trying to be as careful as he could when he slipped. And he fell. And as he was starting to fall and went several feet down the edge of the ledge, he grabbed on to a little branch just hanging out there in the middle of nowhere. He hung on that branch for dear life, and he's, oh my goodness, I can't get up and I can't get down. What am I going to do? And he calls out in frustration and excitement. He says, if there's anybody up there, if there's anybody up there, God, if you're up there, help me. And he heard a voice coming out of heaven. And it says, trust me, let go. And the hiker, hanging onto that branch, said again, is there anybody else up there? Too often, when our faith is tested, it's time to look for another source. But I want to recommend you put your whole source and trust in that one who says, trust me, let go. Look at Hebrews 11 here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance. It's something you can grab onto. It's substantial. One pastor put it this way. He says, faith is the language of heaven. You want to learn a new language? I've been struggling with Spanish all my life and haven't gotten very good at it. But the language of eternity, like Zach alluded to, eternity, you want to speak in that language, it's the language of faith. Goes on to say, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made out of things which are invisible. Did you catch the news this last week? There, a new Gallup poll came out and said that people in America that believe that God created the heavens and the earth is 46%. That amazed me. That's what it caught my eye. 46% of Americans believe that God created the heavens and the earth. God created man, not through an evolutional process, but God, sovereignty, 46%. In fact, it was up 2% from 30 years ago. 30 years ago is 44%. Only 30-plus percent believe that God created man through evolution. And only about 15% of Americans believe in just full-out atheistic evolution. I found that amazing. Hey, there's more faith out there than I thought. But the writer of Hebrews says that that's faith. When we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. Through faith, Abel understood it was about a sacrifice to get his righteousness. By faith, the sacrifice spoke of what was coming out of Abel's heart, and it was accepted in God's sight by faith. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch, taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For behold, he was taken. He had this testimony that it pleased God. I love that story about Enoch. As one pastor said, Enoch was just walking with God. And God says, hey, we're so close to my house. Why don't we just go on to my house instead of you going back to earth? I like that. Walking by faith with God, where you can just enter into his presence. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How often we misunderstand faith. We pray kind of esoterical into the heavens, just, I hope somebody's up there. Maybe something's going to happen. A wishy-washy prayer gets wishy-washy results. Hebrews says, pray expecting. Pray that knowing God is there to meet your every need. That's faith. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying here. As you approach the throne of God, have faith. It is impossible to please him without it. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say in verse 7 about Noah's faith. And down here in verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Remember, Abraham, we call him the father of faith. He's mentioned several times here. Down in 17, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. Down in verse 23, by faith, Moses. Well, you know, the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, have an article here concerning him. He says, to Netanyahu, the Jews are not so much God's chosen people as his argumentative ones. God's chosen people? No, the argumentative ones, the article says. They don't take things on faith. Abraham, Moses, and Job, he notes, all argued with God. What? And sometimes one, like Benjamin Netanyahu, they were ornery, maybe had a chip on their shoulders. Whoa, what's he saying? What's this Jew saying about the Jews? We don't have Pastor Rick to defend the Jews here this morning, but that's what the leader of the Jewish nation says. He says, the Jews aren't men of faith. They're ornery. They're argumentative. Abraham, Moses. He says the name Israel derives from Jacob wrestling with the angel. Benjamin Netanyahu suggests it is about submission. Judaism is about arguing. I like that. You say, what on earth are you talking about? Benjamin Netanyahu sees these men of faith, Abraham, Moses. They were men ready to get in God's face and say, wait a minute. That's because they heard from God. There wasn't any problem with them knowing who they were talking to. You know, God isn't insecure. God can take your frustration. He can take your arguments and say, no, wait a minute, God. As Abraham might have said, you called me where? I've got to go way across the desert Moses, we see the stories written about him arguing with God for his people. But you don't argue with a concept. You don't argue with something that you're not aware of and sure of. These people knew that God was talking to them. They just didn't want to do it. And God, in that conversation, and they ended up doing God's perfect will. You know, sometimes in our frustration, we don't know where to turn. I suggest we turn to God. Turn to him by faith. And if it takes some arguments, that's all right. You can argue with him. God's not insecure at all. Abraham, Moses, they prove that very much. See, faith isn't passive. Faith is aggressive. Faith is passionate. Faith is getting a hold of something you believe in with all your might and going for it. And if it takes arguments like Moses did to get to that place, that's perfectly fine. There needs to be that passion, that aggressiveness with your faith to see God unfold in a mighty way. Let me illustrate. If I was to stand here before you and say, ah, guess what? I've got the numbers for the lottery. I'm going to give you here in a minute the numbers for the lottery, and you can run down to Stewart's and pay your ticket and get those numbers, and you're going to win big money. Yeah, I know, you'd yawn and say, cute, Terry. But if that table caught fire in a great big blaze, yet there wasn't any smoke and it was obviously not getting consumed, that would get your attention. And then if a voice, you know, a deep baritone voice comes out of it and says, I want you to win the mega jackpot, and I'm going to write on the wall the numbers for that mega jackpot, and you saw a hand coming out of nowhere and writing the numbers up on the wall, how many of you are going to be sitting in that seat for the rest of the service? You're going to be running to the door. One hand. Do I see another? You're going to be running to the door, grabbing your cards, trying to be the first one down to Stewart's to dial in those numbers. Why? Because you believe that that word was from God. When we believe that God is really speaking to us, we take action. Too often we're not quite sure what the voice is or what we're hearing. We don't get too passionate, too excited. Yet faith is a passionate experience. It's not passive. It's aggressive. It's exciting. But to get excited, yeah, a burning table, that would excite me. How do you get excited about this faith? We get excited when that table catches on fire and a word comes out of it. We get excited by faith when we hear the word of God, when we know that he's talking to me personally, when his word with passion comes in my soul and I says, hallelujah, God that created the universe is talking to me. Paul said it this way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to get passionate about the word of God? Hear from God. Hear his word. Where is his word? Right here in front of us. God speaks to us through his word, and too often we just neglect it. We go on our merry way, and we say, I'll pick my own lottery numbers. Where God wants to talk to us passionately. He wants us to be on fire for him in a mighty way. Oh, God, that he would enter our life. Too often we hear the accountant say, Terry, you're broke. Or we go to the doctor and he says, you're sick. Or our significant other says, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And we get so depressed. We get so down. We say, I don't have any money. I'm sick. I'm all alone. My relationships are broken. And what do? When we get in that state, we get depressed. And we say, I think I'll just go turn on the TV. And we go turn on the TV, and we get the local news. We turn on the national news. And you know what? They confirm what our accountant says. The nation's broke. You're broke. The depression just gets worse. So we flip the channel. Let's find some drama to watch. And what's the drama exploring but the ramifications of this poor person dying on their sickbed? And we see even Hollywood is dramatizing sickness and disparity and weakness. And we said, this isn't making me feel any better. And we turn on the country western music. Let's just sit back and get some music. And what's the first thing we hear but our dog died, you know, and our wife left us. And we said, I just keep getting more depressed and more depressed. Why? Because we don't go to God's word. And we find out that God has all kinds of things to tell us in his word. How Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Take my yoke upon me. My burden is light. He says, in this world there are tribulations, but I have overcome the world. God's word speaks faith. Why? Because we're hearing from the author of faith himself. We're hearing from God Almighty. And that's where our heart and life should be every day. Soaking up the word of God. Getting involved with him. Praying, as Paul says, praying without ceasing. As Paul also said, be thankful in everything. You know, you walk around this day just throwing out those two-second prayers. Oh, God, bless this person. Just read a book, great book on prayer about encouraging to do that. Praying for the leaders of the land, not complaining about them, asking that God would open up their hearts to receive from him. You know, you can pray that prayer anywhere you go. You say, well, Terry, you know, I'm not very good at praying. You know, just put someone's name with the name of Jesus, and that's a prayer. Terry and Jesus. You can do that right now in the service as you're looking at me. Terry and Jesus. I love for my name to be linked up with the Son of God. We can pray everywhere we go. We can enjoy God's blessing because as we grow in faith, that is going to produce hope. Hope. Faith, hope. The second pillar of the Christian walk is hope. We can have hope eternally in our life. Another book I just got through reading by a great author, a new author, a young author, and a good friend of ours in Oregon, probably where Pastor Rick's going to go to church this morning. John Mark Comer just wrote a book on depression. John Mark, what are you writing about depression for? Here he's one of these young pastors of one of these mega churches out in Oregon, and he says in his opening lines of the book how he's been last 10 or 12 years in the grips of depression, and nobody except his family have known this. He's gone to the doctors for medication. He can't understand how to get out of this. And God has shown him the tools through the Word of God how to fight this depression, and he wrote a book. Guess what the name of the book is? My Name is Hope. I like that. You feel depressed, you feel down, there's this world just clamoring all around you. There's no way out. I just get up in the morning down. The Word of God produces faith, and faith gives us hope. Jeremiah 29:11, says, here's God speaking through Jeremiah, and he says, the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord, are thoughts of peace. A peace not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I like that. A future and a hope. God's thoughts for you. God's thoughts for me. God's thoughts for Jeremiah and the people of Israel were thoughts of peace, not of evil. Why do we struggle in this evil world? Because we're always turning on TV. We're always reading the magazines. We click on our computers, and we get bombarded with all the evil around. That's not God's heart at all. God's heart is a heart of peace for us. We find ourselves depressed and well should be in this world. But Jesus says, I've overcome the world. And as we get into his word, that word is what builds our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm talking about saturating ourselves in the word of God. Where we get up each morning, we start a day with the word of God. We put a memory verse on our mirror so that we can meditate on that throughout the day. Our day goes along praying for our leaders, praying for our family, praying for that person that we're standing behind at Walmart. Why not pray for them too? There's a challenge. We think, oh, prayer doesn't do that much. Oh, but prayer is in a whole nother world, that world Zach alluded to of eternity. Stepping out of time into eternity, prayer. Praying for that person that we're ready to talk to in the behind the cash register. Oh, they're having a bad day. Maybe it's not your personality to confront their bad day, but it's all of our personality to pray for them that they'll be blessed and they'll receive from God. Faith, hope, and love. These aspects of the Christian walk, these pillars that hold up our faith, starts with faith, grows to hope, and is expounded in love. Turn with me to that love chapter that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. Faith, hope, and love. Here in verse 4, Paul writes, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Oh, the attributes of love are so purifying. Love, now get this, love is to give out. Love is what we express to others. The love here, as we know from the Greek, is a pure love. The Greek word is agape, a word we've heard so much. Agape love, that giving out love, that unselfish love, that love that reaches and grabs the heart of others. He just describes it so beautifully here. Verse 5, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Is that your life? Do you find yourself getting a little rude once in a while? Easy to do, isn't it? Finding yourself a little impatient. I've been there too often. Finding characteristics of love just escape me. That's too often the way. Why? Because I've been immersed in the world. I've been watching that TV program. I've been enjoying the latest novel. I've been arguing with the rest of the nation over the way the culture has gone. And I find myself removed from these attributes of love, being challenged when I read these things, say, haven't quite lived up to that this last week. It starts with getting immersed in the Word of God, letting that faith build up and build up and build up, so that as it's built up, we can have hope, the blessed hope of all eternity, to spend all eternity with the Lord. How glorious we have that to look forward to. Faith, hope, and love. And it says down there at the bottom, verse 13, now by faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Lord, that you would change me to be that instrument of love. Because I look back on the cross of Jesus Christ and I saw that demonstrated so clearly, how God came as a man, came as the Son of Man and the Son of God. These two, how did that happen? God, man, all man, in the man Jesus Christ, as he came and demonstrated his love for us, taking all of our sin and dying on the cross for you, for me. What a picture of God's love. See, there's certain things that God didn't create. God didn't create love. He didn't create hope or faith, because those are attributes of who God is. Solomon wrote in the Proverbs that God created wisdom along with all the other creations. But love is who God is, and he demonstrated that so beautifully on the cross as he came and laid down his life for you and for me. And as he laid down his life through the attributes of love, he gave us a picture of how we can walk in him. Yes, we get in the Word and we learn all the things of God, how he's speaking to us on a daily basis, and our faith is built up. And that gives us hope. But that hope is for a purpose. That hope is for a purpose of having his love fill us up, so that we can walk just like Jesus did, and that we can lay down our life for that situation, that argument. I know it's fun to win an argument. I don't do it very often anymore. But it's fun to win an argument. But how much better it is to lay down our life as Jesus did and say, you know what? It's just my opinion. It really doesn't matter. I could lay down that and let someone else shine a little brighter. That time when it just seems so apparent, I can't get my way unless I'm rude in this situation. I got to be assertive. I got to be a little obnoxious, or they're going to overcharge me. And we get those thoughts and say, I'm just going to make my point. I'm going to get my way so I can get that deal that I deserved. Sometimes laying down our life and loving transcends rudeness so far as we extend grace to that situation. Extend grace. That's what God did on the cross. He extended grace to mankind. And you can go down that list there of all the definition of what love is there in chapter 13. Take each of those points. Patience. Have I been struggling with patience this last week? Sandy, don't nod your head. It's always my struggle. Patience. But as I look to the cross of Jesus how he patiently died for us. That can renew my spirits. Oh, all the way of believing and trusting in Jesus comes from immersing ourselves in the Word of God. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for loving us so completely. How you showed us on the cross what love really is. And I pray that we can, this next week, this next month, that we can just be filled with your Spirit as we read your Word, as we let your faith build up, as we take on the situations in our life, trusting you, knowing that you have our best plan ahead for us. Lord, we just love you so much. We just want to take in all that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.